Thursday the 8th of January, Yud Beis Teves, Rabbi Mordechai Nissim, Acharis Hayomim.
Good morning everybody, it's nice to be back again. This week's parasha talks about the passing away of Yaakov Avinu and Abu Shalom, and this is Vayechi Yaakov, it's named after him. And Chazal tell us that it's a parasha which is satum, you can't see the beginning of it, it's hard to find it. And the first Rashi says, why is it satum? Because Yaakov legalot taket, he wanted to reveal the end of days, it disappeared from him, it went away from him. The other pshat is that because of the galus that we're in, that began more or less from the passing of Yaakov Avinu, so the times of tragedy, it's hard to find Hashem in the galus and see clearly where the Shekhinah is, and we're living in times of troubles at the moment, so it's obviously quite relevant. So the topic is Acharis Hayomim. We've actually spoke about the end of days, I think once before on the Torah way. A lot to say about it, but I wanted to take a particular slant on it. So the famous Torah, which is known or which has been published already, is that the end of days will bring a war, Gog and Magog, and the various nevuot about it, various prophecies about it. A lot of the references are to the fact that it's going to happen in the Middle East. The Gemara talks about Paras and Esav having a great war. It's machloki in the Gemara who's actually win the war. It's not clear. The difference is studying this way, studying that way. Could go either way. But also at the end of Sotah, there's the Gemara about the Ikvot of the Mashiach and the Epoch of the Mashiach, or the Messiah at the end of days. Talks about various things that we'll see that will start happening. We mentioned before some of the signs which are clearly visible to us. For example, the price is going up, the price of wine, it mentions, being ridiculously high. And property going up, going down at the moment, but the value of it is not. but apart from that, it mentions that there'll be no problems, there'll be prosecuting, you'll be able to rely upon your politicians, Beit Vadi, Beit Znut, the level of the Rabbanim will go down, there'll be corruption, and it says also that a young person will sit in front of an old person. I've observed before that when I used to go to school, nobody would be able to sit down on a bus. So on a journey, you would see a young person sitting down and an old person standing up. It was unheard of. Today you can go on London Transport. I don't do it very often, but I've seen it, heard it. Yeah, that when you go on London Transport, you'll find, I've seen it on the tube actually, I do actually use it. I give a shoe in town once a weekend and I go on the tube quite often, and I do see there's a special allocated seat for old people and pregnant women. And there's quite often a young person standing there, and I've actually seen a pregnant woman standing next to them, and they haven't even bothered, or an old person, haven't even bothered to offer them the seat. Right? So this is almost like a nevuah that's coming true nowadays. Not that we should have joy about it, but in a sense it's good to see that the Torah is the truth. Right? Another thing it mentions, which is catastrophic, is that the Galil Necherav, it says, will be destroyed. And today there's been attacks in the northern front of Israel. They've opened a new frontier. Hopefully, we don't know what will happen, but we trust in Hashem. So there are clearly things which are happening in our times which are alarming. The Ramchal in Ma'amar Gula, which I was able to translate, talks quite clearly about the two powers being Yishmael and Esav. I mean, of the nations of the world, at the end of days, there are two powers where the evil side of them dominates them, and these two powers are Yishmael and Esav. And if we see where Ishmael came from, where it's going, it's quite clear the Muslim world. And you can see the power that sees the Muslim world with its might. At the moment, it's Iran. It's Paras, which is the same Paras which the Gemara identified. Apart from that, we find that Esav, who's Esav? Esav is Yaakov's brother. That eventually became Rome. That's quite clear in Chazal. Rome became Europe. Europe became America. You don't have to be a speculator, or you have to speculate or be some sort of theorist, doomsday theorist or something to come up with this. It's quite clear that the leading power of the world is America, and this is Esav. Esav, the nature of Esav is Lashon to do, la'asot. To have independence, to have freedom, to have free speech, liberty, rights, tolerance, to build the self. That's what America, the West, is bringing. A person has to build themselves up, to have everything they want. Very self-centered type of attitude. We find we live in a generation where people are pampered and they look after themselves. You walk into a person's kitchen, you'll find a challah maker and a yogurt maker, and they want to have everything to be self-sufficient. Everything, every invention in the world you have to have in your kitchen. It has to be an absolute factory for every possibility. Yeah? Because it's all about building the person to be independent, have freedom to do whatever they want. They don't need anybody else but themselves. So it says, "Lo alelechem le'odayichi adam." So that's the Western outlook on life, that we have rights and freedom. We have a right to ourselves. Whatever we want to do, we can do it. Whereas on the other side, you've got Ishmael, and the name Ishmael means to listen to God, Ishmael. And they have seemed to hijack God and to say that basically what they say is what God really wants, although they argue amongst themselves. And Islam is basically saying, Allahu Akbar, God is great, just listen to God, and you don't have a right to have an opinion. You don't have a right for democracy. What God dictates, or you'll tell you what God dictates, is what you have to do. And these are two ideas which are clashing right now in our generation. The Ramchal explains that as we go through time, as we go through the 6,000 years, as the Gemara says, the Shikra Alfei Shana, the world was going for 6,000 years, then in every generation what unfolds in a particular era is a particular war or a particular idea of truth that has to be revealed for the world to establish and take responsibility for, whether it was the Industrial Revolution or the Social Revolution, or it's issues to do with work rights or whatever it might be. Yeah, in every generation there is an issue which the world is being challenged with. And if you go to see with this outlook, which is a more mystical type of outlook, the world is actually becoming more righteous in that sense, because the world collectively is taking more responsibility for global issues like education and medicine and welfare. And even if two countries go to war, my example we often use, if a couple of countries go to war, they have to wear the right uniform, army uniform. So wear the wrong uniform, then they're going against the Warsaw Pact. Now, if you can imagine 200 years ago, countries going to war, worrying about what uniform they were wearing, they didn't really care they're going to be hitting each other to pieces. Why should they care what they're going to be wearing? Yeah, but we live in a time where there is more accountability collectively and globally. And that in the teachings of the Ramchal and the more mystical teachings is why the world is becoming more accountable and more righteous in that sense. Right? And that is the pathway to eventual Geula. The world has to take more responsibility. It's like a child growing up, and as it becomes reaches adulthood, the parent takes more responsibility for their actions, so the world has to take more responsibility for what's going on. And that's why although there's so many wars, if you read Ramchal's writings, Derech Da'at Tivunot, he talks in quite depth. One of the early questions is, why are there so many generations of wars and wars and wars and wars? Why does it seem to be happening again and again and again? Well, the simple answer is, if it's a very deep safer, but as you come to get the grips of what he's saying, is that it's a process of turning evil into good. Right, we have to turn the bad into good. It has to return to good again. When God created the world and he put Adam and Eve in Gan Eden, the world was not in a perfect state. Our world is not in a perfect state. We have to perfect it. And that's what the world is doing, even the non-Jewish world, is taking responsibility as time goes by in each war to reject some untruth, something which we have to not tolerate, to be intolerant towards it. Like the Holocaust, etc. And each war is changing slightly what we're fighting. I mean, now there's a war between these two great powers, the East and the West, with the edges are right in the middle. What's this war? Well, if you look in the UN, America is constantly splitting up the UN, the Arab members of the, or Muslim, I should say, Muslim members of the UN. They'll unite, like 42, 48 member states. If they would all unite together, then it would be catastrophic. But because democracy is seen to make more sense and be more righteous than this dictatorship type of totalitarian regime, that's why they're able to challenge each other and they're fighting it. So the Americans will say, we have a right to our freedom and a right to how we want to live our lives, and you can't come along and start saying Allahu Akbar and killing everybody. And the Muslims will say, no, you have not got a right to do that because God doesn't like it, doesn't tolerate it, and therefore it's better for you not to be in the world, and we're gonna put our regime as a way to live. And they're fighting each other. And we're caught up in the middle. The great rabbi lived in England, Rav Sulman Sasson, Allah Hashem, a Talmud of Rav Dessler, Talmud Mufhak. A lot of his writings, Rav Dessler's writings, were published by his notes on Shas, which had been published in Bechtav Meliel. He was asked to be the chief rabbi there at Israel, and he declined. You know, the gates of yeshiva moved to Letchworth, and where the Sassoon residence was. And he, in his writings, he said that in the Garden of Eden, in Gan Eden, there were two trees. There was Etz HaChaim and Etz HaDaat Tov V'Ra. And the Radva says, had Adam eaten from the Etz HaChaim first, he'd have eternalized forever the concept of Etz HaChaim, and there would have been no Yetzer Hara and evil, etc. in the world. Right? But he didn't. He reversed, because it says in the Pasuk, Vetz HaChaim betoch hagan, the gam Etz HaDaat Tov V'Ra. So that means that was a principal tree, but he reversed it and he ate from the Eitz HaDaat Tovira. What I want to suggest is that two trees actually, and he goes on to explain what these concepts of these two trees are. He calls it the social principle and the pleasure principle. The social principle is the Eitz HaChaim. Everyone is part of a social structure of life, part of a community, it's part of Hashem Hanagai Yonah, which the Ramchal talks about, which is the divine order of everything in the whole world over all of time. I mean, all the education in the world is finite. There's only so much education you can reach. Eventually you'll know everything there is to know as a human being. Everything in the world is part of a process. And that tree there, Eitz HaChaim, represents being part of that tree and accepting it. Whereas the other tree represented the pleasure principle, which is the individual, and him building himself up to be perfect. Right? To work, to understanding everything on his own accord without being told. Not being a robot. Right? The Eitz HaDaat Tovira. To know good and to know what bad is. The Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem that there was actually an advantage of Adam HaRishon eating from the tree or doing the sin, which we know was a sin, it's a terrible thing. But there was actually an advantage that came out of it, which is a person through knowledge of bad can actually serve God with knowledge and saying this is bad. After being in the experience and seeing how bad it is to do that particular action, then I'm saying, no, I'm rejecting this with knowledge rather than just because it says so. So if we look at these two principles, we can actually suggest that is what this war is about. The Eitz HaChaim is the tree of God said so. God said so, you just do it. You're not supposed to have an opinion. On the other hand, if you don't have an opinion, then you're never going to develop your mind. The whole concept of learning Torah, the whole concept of learning Gemara and education is built upon a person developing their own mind, right? That's what chinuch is. So you can't just accept that. On the other hand, if you just try and make it a process of learning and knowing everything for yourself, everybody's going to do their own process of learning and won't reach Hashem. They won't be part of the Eitz HaChaim, they'll just be Eitz HaDaat Tovira. So the two principles have to work together. It's good to see, I think we've mentioned this before, in the Jewish system of learning, we educate a child from scratch. We, in a sense, it's conditioning. They're conditioned to have an opportunity to fight the Yetzer Hara from childhood. They don't have a say because they're too young, their minds are not developed. You have to give them the tools. Like the Gemara says, if you put a child, a son, it says, put your son in front of a bed of milk, which is a promiscuous place where it's not appropriate to go in there and people sell themselves in the streets. If a man puts his son in front of such a place and he clothes him and feeds him and dresses him up and puts some money, an anak around his neck with money inside it, says, what will the child do in order not to sin? It's too late. There's nothing left for him to try and protect himself. It's too late. So you have to give them, you have to condition a child from young with a Jewish concept that's the Eitz HaChaim, Hashem said so. And when their minds start opening, gradually they use their mind. And that's the concept of Ge'ulah, or reaching redemption. The world takes on an understanding with the commitment of Emunah to Hashem. And as they develop through, they take more responsibility, and that's the process of Ge'ulah. Now, I really wanted to speak about, which is linked to this, is that we're in a time of trouble. And there's another war. It says the beginning of Mesilat Yisharim. It says Yisod Hachasidu Veshorash Avodah Hatmima Sheid Amet Yitbarer Etzel Adam Machavato Ba'Olamo. Coming along those lines of this word for word, but a person has to know his purpose in the world. The Slonim Rebbe in the Siva Shalom says that is the general mission of the world. As the Ramchal says, there's things which come between us, many, many, numerous things he says, which are marchikim, they come to distance us from reaching that achievement of what's the purpose, he says, l'tanegel Hashem, to have pleasure from Hashem, which will be in Olam Haba. So we have to have a world which tests us, and Olam Hazeh, etc. The Son of Us says that's the general test, that's the general mission, that everybody's trying to reach that pleasure of the next world, and we have to go through this world, which is a process like we explained until now. Right? We actually have both those principles. We have the tree of life, which we identify with Hashem, and where we belong to the Neshama is part of the structure of Neshamot, and we're put here for a reason, and it's part of the divine order. And in that system, after knowing it with truth and emunah, we then have to also develop the person to have their own understanding of what life is, and through the learning of the Torah, that's Eitz HaDaat Tovira. We have both. That's why Eitz Yisrael, I think, is in the middle of both the East and the West. It's smack in the middle between this conflict which is going on. Final conflict between Gog and Magog, or however we want to term it. But there's another mission, he says, which is known to the Tzadikei Emet. He says that every individual has to have their own process. The process of the individual. The Gemara says in Kiddusha and in Sukkah, from memory, it says, Yitzrosh Adam Chadesh Baruch Hol Yom Mbakesh Lahamito Ve'im Malakosh Baruch Ozro Eno Yacholo. Every single day there's a battle with the Yetzer Hara. And if not be the fact that Hashem would help us, we would not be able to overcome it. Like it says, Hashem lo yazvenu. Hashem will not forsake us. So, one of the Rebbe said, that's quoted in the Sivir Shalom, he says, a day which a person does not fight his Yetzer Hara is not a day of living. He hasn't lived that day. And what I wanted to do is, like the last 15 minutes, is to talk about the battle that we have with our Yetzer Hara. On the one hand, there is this big battle in Eretz Yisrael right now, and it does affect every Jew, in my opinion. Whatever we can do, we have to do as Jewish people. Might be learning Torah, might be some people are fighting, but people have to do what they have to do. But we've come in the world with a mission. We've talked about the global mission of the Acharis Hayamim, that Yaakovina wanted to reveal it to his sons and it disappeared. It's alluded to in the parasha. There is an Acharis Hayamim. There's going to be an end of days. There's a process. If you want to know more about it, there's a Sefer Ma'amar Geula. There's also a book which is written recently also by Rabbi Weitzman from Arachim, which I think is very good. I think it's called The Ishmaelite Exile. It's got lots of chazars, lots of Vilna Gaons on this, from Kalata. Unbelievable stuff. You look at what's going on in the world, it's amazing. But that's very nice information. At the end of the day, we have to do something about it. We're individuals which are in this process, and we've come in the world with a purpose. And in the Sivir Shalom, the Slamana has done, as he's brought together a lot of sources to make it realize it's actually a universal idea, whether you're a Sephardi or Ashkenazi, whether you're a Hasid or a Litvak or a Misnagi, it makes no difference. All the Sephardim are saying the same thing, that we have a duty to reach our own personal mission. And our own personal mission is to overcome our own Yetzer Hara. And what they say there, those resources, is that there's a particular midah that a person has to work on in their life. One midah, not all the midot necessarily. There's one particular midah, so much so that I think it was Imam Eli Melech, or one of the Hasidish Rebbe said, you even are allowed to sacrifice your life not to transgress that midah. Starts with the Rambam. The Rambam says that to change a midah is more difficult than a sin. It says worse, a bad midah is worse than an act of a sin. That's what the Rambam says. And he bases it on the passage. It says, Yazov Dalko. A person has to leave his ways. What's his ways? So there's a sefer called Shari Kedusha, which the Chaim Vital wrote. He was a Talmud of the Arizal. It's the sefer, which is a Musa sefer, it's a classic. And it's also a preparation for a person who wants to enter into the study of the Kabbalah. Yeah, and the entire message that Yesharim is based on that sefer. Now, the Mishnah Yesharim, which is the Torah classic in every yeshiva, everyone knows it, is based on Shari Kedusha, and that's based on the Baraita, which is at the end of Sota, we mentioned before. After that, the end of the Gemara, it's in the Mishnah actually, it says Amar Pinchas Ben Yair, as you know, when we studied Mishnah Yesharim, the Rizus, you come to the Hirus, the Hirus, you come, it goes Vechula Vechula, Nikius and Tara, and then from Tara you come, I think, to Arnava and Kedusha, and then it says to Ruach HaKodesh, and then to Tchiyas HaMeitim, Acharit HaYamim. There's a Baraita that Chazal taught us. All the different, I've quoted to you Hasidim, I've quoted to you the message that you show him, that the Vilna Gaon said he would have walked across to Italy and sat at the foot of the Ramchal. Yet, and it's a classic sefer in every yeshiva, Ponovich, the Enkud, there you go. This Yeshayim is the sefer that everybody learns. It's one single approach. Meshulat Yeshayim stops when you get to Ruach HaKodesh. It doesn't go at the Kedusha. It doesn't go on to Ruach HaKodesh and on to Tchiyas HaMeitim. But if you go into Shara Kedusha, which is based on it, it actually goes further than that. And it quotes the Tanakh of Eliyahu. It says Eliyahu Navi taught us that every single individual could reach Ruach HaKodesh. Even, this is male, female, Jew and non-Jew as well. Even a non-Jewish woman can reach Ruach HaKodesh. How? Well, the entire Sefer of Shara Kedusha and Mitzvah Yesharim is based on a concept of keeping the mitzvahs. A person keeps the mitzvahs, studies Torah, and then they become a tzaddik. And if they're keeping every single mitzvah, then the mitzvah essentially becomes a tzaddik gamur. You'll find exactly the same terminology in Shara Kedusha where it's based on. After tzaddik gamur becomes a chassid, v'chula v'chula. But the idea is to get to Kedusha, to become holy. And from holiness, you get to Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh we translate as divine inspiration. Really the words mean a spirit of holiness. A person becomes holy. How does one become holy? What measurement do we use? What instrument do we use to measure holiness? Does it depend on a person's hat? Does it depend on where they daven? Does it depend on who they studied with? a lady rang me up not so long ago for about a shidduch, and she has a daughter who has a disorder, and she was considering this ex-Talmud of mine when I was a student chaplain who is a Baal Teshuva more or less, but he's more modern, he doesn't go around in a black suit, and she felt they were compromising to even consider him, and she spent about 10-15 minutes interviewing me about him. So as I was finishing the conversation, I said to her, can I ask you a few questions about your daughter, right? I'm going to make it too personal because you might know this family. And she was most offended. I said, well, where do you daven? Where do I daven? Do you know who my grandfather was? Do you know I come from this Rosh Yeshiva and that one, this one and that? I said, that's very nice. I said, but I'm not asking about you. I'm asking about your daughter. Who is your daughter's Rav? Does she have a Rav? How dare you? And she put the phone down on me. So I rang up my Talmud straight. I said, you keep away from this family. I said, it's got nothing to do with who you are. And then she said to me before, she said, anyway, we're only considering he's a Baal Teshuva. We're not really even interested in him. It's a big compromise for us to even consider this chap. So I said, you're going to get hammered for the rest of your life. This poor chap has come into Torah hoping to grow and seeing a good side of Torah. People are working on themselves. A relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not used to the idea of just being part of the Kohens, you know, and living a life that fits into the Kehillah so you can get a good shidduch for your daughter and your son and that's it. Right? These Shvarim are teaching us that we have to become holy. The idea is by keeping the mitzvahs, every time we keep a mitzvah, it's having an effect on ourselves. Yeah, it's having an effect on ourselves, and we're beginning to synchronize ourselves with this divine order of how the Shekhinah is connecting to us in this world. It's been laid out for us by how the Torah describes the life. And all the middos that we have, it says in Shai Kedusha, that the middos are not actually something external to the person, they're actually the person themselves. The actual person is his middos. Because on further to say in Shai Kedusha, that the different levels of the soul, or the neshama, and the lowest level, the nefesh of the nefesh, the Evel de Galma, which stays in the person even after they're in the kever, are the midas, and they connect the body with the neshama, and between this neshama and this body is where the yetzer hara attacks us. And when we come in the world, if we have a bad midah, lo aleinu, could be anger. It could be lack of, Salant mentioned 13 middos. There aren't that many middos. We imagine there must be thousands. There's only about 13 middos. If we were able to keep all the good middos, so we would connect our body to our neshama without any barrier between it. There's no yetzar in between. When we're not able to do that, the yetzar gets in between us to sever that link between the guf, the body, and the neshama. Understand what this means? That means if a person does a mitzvah, where's his tefillin? Yeah? With kavana and everything, right? But he's got a bad middah. He's got an anger problem. He's got a tithe problem. He's got a kavod problem. Just to translate them, that's he's got a problem with jealousy, or he's got a problem with desire, not in that order. Or honor seeking, right? One of the bad middahs which we know in Pirkei Avot, it says there's three of them which are the roots of all the middahs. Hakinah, a kavod, a tithe, motzin adam in haolam. That they say, is the roots of all the other middahs. They're all rooted in those three. If you look at them, one is between man and man, which is taiva, desire. One is between man and God, which is kavod, his honor seeking. He feels that he deserves to be in a better place in the world. He's arguing with Hashem. And the other one is jealousy, kinah, which is between man and man. Desire between man and himself, obviously. Those are the three. A few minutes left. So if a person does a mitzvah, but they have a bad middos, if we argue they have no good middos whatsoever, that means the neshama will not connect to the guf. So his wearing of his tefillin, even if he has kavanah for the mitzvah, lishma, it just becomes an arbitrary act. You know, there's a kind of a dance called salsa, they go like this, right? The person wears his tefillin, he's winding his straps like this. That's all he's doing, a bit of dancing. It's not having any effect on the neshama. Every day we say the brachas of Shema. If you look in Derech Hashem, right at the end of the Sefer, he talks about when a person does his brachas of Shema, and why is he talking about the angels and what they sing? What do we care about the angels and what they sing? Well, the Midrash says every time a plant, an esev, a herb has to grow, there's a malach that hits it, says the Midrash, and says, makebo v'megadel, and it grows. That means the malachim are bringing down brachas all the time, every minute of our existence. The brachas are coming down, and that's what produces the physical effects of the economy growing, or the grains and the tua and the fields. All this is all these brachas are coming in the world only because the malachim bring Hashem's sustenance into the world. And who enables them to do that is us. When we do a mitzvah, a physical act of wearing tefillin, we are connecting that, because we're Jewish, because we have a neshama from Klal Yisrael, which we got on Har Sinai after the Torah mitzvahs were given to us. That's our job in the world. Non-Jews don't have that effect. Doesn't mean they're bad, but they don't have that effect. Because we have a neshama, when we do a mitzvah, which is now a divine act, we're connecting that physical act. If we've got good midas, it will go right past the Yetzer Hara, bash through it, and reach the neshama. The neshama will then have an effect of influencing the malachim. So when we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in our tefillah, they say Kadosh, Kadosh in Shemayim, like it says in Perek Shira, that talks about all the animals and their songs, because all different malachim singing the same songs, and they're bringing down that particular aspect of blessing into the world. So that means when I do a mitzvah, if I've got good midas, and I'm working on my midas, to the degree of my midas, that's how much my mitzvah can affect the entire world. And more than that, I've come in the world to actually rectify and develop those midas, to self-develop those particular midas. So a person comes in the world and he doesn't work on his midas, every mitzvah he does will have no effect whatsoever on him. They have a little bit of an effect, because everyone has some goodness in them. So it comes out from this, the personal mission of a person in the world is not just to keep the mitzvahs, but to develop the midas as well. So this Lonema goes even further. He says, there's one particular midah that a person comes in the world for. So if we take this idea and slightly develop it, that means the person goes through life. First, they'll work with their anger, and they'll work with their tithing, they'll work with the cover, they'll go through that. They'll go through their desires, and they'll work on that, or get married. Then they've got problems with honor seeking in the community. By the way, every single person has the same problems. If a Rosh Hashiva would now walk in through the door, right, and he'd look around, and we'd be too busy in the shir to notice him, and he'd have to sit at the back. And let's say he'd think to himself for a second, huh, they didn't stand up for me, they didn't put me in the mizrach. Right? Now it might be that he's right, and it might be that on his level he knows more than anyone in the room about another, about humility. No question about it. And he's even fulfilling it. It's not about, he's a good person. But the fact that he's thinking about kavod at that moment means he has a kavod issue that he's working on in his lifetime. And on his level, that's why he's come in the world, to work on his kavod issue on his level, and that's why he's here. And all the Rambam's son, the Rambam ben Rambam, and Chavos Labas also says this, that all the middas are connected together like a string of pearls. Every single middah, whether a person is got to be a gambler, or he's an alcoholic, or he's a drug addict, or a womanizer, or anything, anyone with a bad middas, right? They're all connected together. They all affect each other. You can think of a mashal, a person's washing machine is not working, so he'll say, maybe it's the fuse in the plug. No, it's not that. Maybe it's the on-off switch. No, it's not that. Maybe it's the regulator. Maybe he'll keep on going through the whole system. Eventually he finds a tiny little screw that got stuck, got lodged between the drum that turns around and its external casing. Right? And it affected everything. Nothing worked because of it. Well, eventually you have to get to that little screw that was lodged. That happened to me not so long ago. So I think the same idea would apply to us. I would say that when a person, through all the counseling that I've been involved in, when a person reaches around the age of 30, and if they're really a ben tzar and they're working on themselves, it'll probably be after yeshiva, and they've got married and they've had children, they will know what that one weakness is that keeps repeating itself, coming forward, keeps surfacing again and again. They'll know that I've done quite a bit of work on my lashon hara, quite a bit on my taiva, I've done quite a little on my desire, on my kavod, on my honor seeking. But you know, there's one thing that keeps coming back. I have an issue. I've got a weakness in a particular midah. According to what we're saying, that is why a person came in the world, and they have to start a process of trying to rectify and perfect that midah. And that one midah which they might be perfecting for themselves is why they've come in the world, and will make an entire effect on how their mitzvah connects to the neshama, and the neshama influences the malachim. And even right now, if we would work on our midas, each one of us, and actually succeed in identifying it and correcting it, it would have a huge effect on the world. A huge effect. There'd be no wars. We'd be able to reach the Achrei Sayamim and in a much stronger way. We'd be affecting people around us and soldiers which are fighting in a battlefield right now. Every day, I have to end with this, we say Shemoneh Esrei three times. And it's repeated twice by the five times we're saying the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Goel Israel. Five times. We're hearing it or saying it. Repeat. And if you look at the Kaf HaChaim, he offers three pshatim in the Achronim as to what the pshat of Goel Israel is. He says it's a kasha. Where do you see the Geula? We're waiting and waiting for the Geula, for the redemption. It hasn't come. Why do we say this bracha so many times and there's no... I can't remember the order, but I wanted to shlach kadosh, I remember that. I can't remember all the... it escapes my mind right now. But there's three pshatim. One pshat is, it's a Geula purta. It's a little bit of a Geula. Slightly better than before. The other pshat is the Geula... your tefillah will cause the Geula, but much later on, in years to come. But the other, third pshat is amazing. It's givalti pshat. Right? I'm saying that as a sephardi. Givalti, right? is that the Goel Yisrael is happening. You just don't see it. It's how you don't realize it when you do your mitzvah and your midah that you're correcting is connecting to your neshama, and your neshama is affecting the malachim and the bracha comes in the world. You just saved a soldier, you just saved a Jew who's walking down the street in Stamford Hill. My daughter goes to school in Stamford Hill. They told me today not to walk alone outside. You said they had Torah school yesterday. They were banishing jihad Israel against the Jews. Right? We live in dangerous times, and it's scary times. Even if we, doesn't matter how Zionist you are, we are Jews, and we're connected to what the matzah that's going on. Yeah, and we can make a difference every time we daven and every time we work on our midah. How when we say Goel Yisrael, going to this achron, whatever it was, we're actually saving a Jew because it's making a difference. I would say that battle is as important, not more important than all the other battles that we have to fight as Jews of Yer Hashem. Shabbat will help us to be strong, to fight our battles against the Yetzer Hara, and we should see the Geula. Shleimah b'Rabbi Amenu. Amen.
Amen.